You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Cashman. I'm joined once again by Jeffrey Flanagan. And Jeffrey, the Royals are in between Big Tigers series as we record this. Had this four-game split with Detroit over the weekend, and next weekend they'll play them again. And I was talking about this with Jason Beck, but, you know, early though it may be, those games certainly have a unique prominence at this point in the schedule, just knowing, the start those two teams got off to, the way last season went down, so closely contested in the Central as it was. So what was the feel in the Kansas City clubhouse? I'm sure there was some frustration over, settling for the split after the way that series had started.
Yeah, I think they were most disappointed in Saturday night's game. That was the one they really thought they could have stole. Even though David Price pitched a great, great game, they had Volquez on the mound. He was solid. Their bullpen was solid. They kind of messed up one double play, and that hurt them, and they allowed what turned out to be the winning run. But, I think they're okay with the split, to be honest. As shorthanded as they are now, no Rios, no Eske. And no Holland. And they had an emergency starter with Chris Young. So getting a split, was probably just fine in the clubhouse. I think the town treated it like four playoff games. I mean, there were three sellouts, and they drew over 140,000. So it was a pretty exciting weekend, actually. And that Saturday night game with the epic Herrera-Cabrera matchup, it just seemed like the middle of October. That was really tense. So all in all, probably a good series for him.
And, of course, get another shot at the Tigers this weekend. And, the suspension clouds aren't hanging over their head by that point. But as far as –
They might have one more.
They have one more. That's right. That's right. It's hard to keep up with all these.
Herrera is probably – he right. might lift his tonight. So – and just get it over with. So Kane will be back on Wednesday. So anyway,
yeah, it's hard to keep track of.
It is.
I guess Lorenzo Cain got caught on hidden camera, huh?
Yeah, I mean he was really shocked that they found him. He thought he was in the scuffle and there would be nobody to see what he did. So I guess that even the more surprising one is Herrera because, I mean, he was just on the outskirts of the skirmish. And for him to get, an additional suspension, I think kind of surprised everyone. But I think it's guilt by association. Once you've already got a crime against you, it's like a felon in possession of a gun or something. You can't be near any other criminals or anything like that. So he probably should have just stayed in the bullpen. But he'll probably start, I would guess, they're hoping maybe he might start serving tonight even and get it over with. Holland likely to come off a DL tonight. It's kind of just going to hinge on that.
Well, yeah, and getting Holland back to a bullpen that obviously survived pretty well without him, with the depth that they've accrued there. But as far as the other injured guys, you mentioned Escobar and Rios. Losing Escobar to that scary hit in the head, obviously they took all the precautions with the concussion disabled. Mm-hmm. Any concern there, that could be a lingering thing. That was a really scary moment when he got hit there by Danny Salazar.
Yeah, it really was. And it was basically just league mandated that he sit out. He wasn't passing a couple of his tests. And they do this computer analysis impact test. And he failed that. And he just had his hard time moving his head quickly vertically. And he would get kind of dizzy when he did that on the second or third day. So they just shut him down. And I'm told it usually takes about a week for the healing to take place. So I think that puts him in line to be ready for the Tigers series. And he seems fine when you talk to him, and he talks a good game, and he's ready to go. But they definitely erred on the side of caution. And there's just, we've seen it happen before in the past. And Ned brought up Corey Koski, where if you don't shut the guy down and you keep him working out and stuff like that, something really bad can happen. So I think baseball and all sports have learned you just don't take those chances anymore.
And with Alex Rios, it sounds like he's starting to make some progress, some hand strengthening here soon.
Yeah, he's getting closer. I think this is the week he's going to actually pick up a bat and see if he can kind of roll his left wrist with the bat in his hand and If he's able to do that, you know, and continue the strengthening exercises and actually maybe just start taking some swings maybe later in the week, I really think he's probably still at least 2 weeks away. I don't know if a veteran like that will go do a rehab assignment. Maybe he goes for two or three games or something like that and bats lead off and gets, you know, five at-bats or five plate appearances in a couple games, and then they'll ship him back here. So I think he's probably still a couple weeks away.
Well, the offense has obviously survived pretty well without Rios, all things considered. And you made the point in a piece on MLB.com here recently that a lot of that damage is coming with two outs. Two-out RBI, they're tied with Boston for the Major League lead, and they lead the majors in two-out hits. Is that, you know, some of that is just nobody knows what to attribute it to, luck or just, you know, the right hits at the right time. But it also seems to me there is a mindset there. There is a confidence standpoint to be able to be productive with two outs.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and Lorenzo Cain points out that, you know, the wild card game really changed their mindset about, you know, just never quitting in a game, never quitting in an inning. You know, there's for some teams, there's kind of a mindset when you get with two outs, you just kind of shut it down. That's what Lo Cain was talking about. And you don't maybe, you know, put as much effort forward because it's harder to string together that many hits in a row to get a run. After what they did to Lester in the wild card game, I think from that moment on, they just realized that anything's possible, even with two outs, they can string together four or five straight hits, and they've done that plenty of times this year. It's as you mentioned, they lead the league in a lot of those categories. So, and some of it's maturity and confidence. They believe more in themselves. They're having better at bats. The last time I looked, they're not last in walks, which will be the history-making achievement if that holds true the rest of the season. So they're showing a little bit more patience. You know, I do think, though, that they miss Rios' power. They don't have a single home run out of that spot since he left. They've got, of course, Mr. Triples, but they just don't have the pop that they do with Rios in the lineup. So they'll be anxious to get him back. And if the offense is held up, hey, they're 16-9. They lost Rios pretty early in the season, so they're all kind of stepping up. You know, Gordon even went up to the leadoff spot, which he hadn't done since 2013 with Eske out of there. So, you know, it's kind of a next man up kind of mentality here, and that's they're pulling it off.
Well, speaking of next man up, they had to be thrilled with what they got out of Chris Young in a spot start with the five no-hit innings, and obviously had to be limited. His workload had to be limited, you know, coming out of the bullpen. But, boy, that was pretty impressive given the circumstances.
Yeah, it was just phenomenal. I mean, to get nine strikeouts, too, all of them swinging. I mean, he really had the Tigers chasing stuff out of the zone. He's had this mastery of the Tigers anyway. I mean, his ERA is under two career against them. But, you know, he's been really good against everybody. I think there was that stat where pitchers with over 1,000 innings, he has the best opponent's batting average, the lowest opponent's batting average or something. So he's been a good pitcher a long time, and it's a great weapon to have down there for a spot start. Of course, fans here are crying for him to move into the rotation because they're having some troubles with Guthrie and Vargas in the four and five spots. And Ned's going to be patient. You know that. He's always very patient with his veterans. So he's not going to have a quick hook with either one of them. But, you know, as the month of May goes on, if they continue to struggle, who knows? I mean, this guy has had a great comeback year last year and seems to be the same pitcher he was then. People point to his bad September last year, and he's told me many times that he just kind of ran out of gas. He really worked hard in spring training last year and threw a lot of innings, and by the time he got to September, he was just kind of gassed. So he won't have that issue this year, and, you know, who knows? He might be in the starting rotation within a month or two, and in 2 months from now, he might be joined by Chris Medlin. We don't know, so... I think there's a little bit of pressure on Guthrie and Vargas right now, though, to step up their games.
Yeah, especially Guthrie. He's got the ERA north of six, and, of course, the final year of his contract. So that always kind of, you know, that plays a part. Obviously, in these things, they're tied to Vargas through 2017, so that's kind of a different equation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the problem with both of those guys is they don't really set up to be bullpen guys. So what you do with them, it's just tough, you know. Vargas' ERA is right at 5.95, I think, so he hasn't been very much better, and he's actually had a couple of really horrible outings, a couple of three-inning ones. And So it's a big outing for him tonight. But you're right. I mean, he signed for two more years after this. And what do you do with him if you yank him out of the starting rotation? Does he have trade value or anything like that? Who knows? But, you know, both of them probably at best case scenario would just be long relievers if they made a switch. So kind of a tough call.
All right. Well, Jeffrey Flanagan, as always, is all over it. All things Royals for MLB.com and series with the Indians this week. And then, of course, that big one in Detroit this weekend. It's hard to say a series is big in May, but those series do have a big feel to them, a playoff feel.
I want to thank Jeffrey
for joining us. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.